The name Al-Hasib is mentioned in the Quran several times, and the general meaning of Al-Hasib means the sufficient, the one who is enough, the reckoner, the one who will judge. These are general meanings, but if you want to go into more detail, they actually have more than seven meanings, and I'll go briefly through these seven meanings inshallah. But I want to focus on the two main meanings, the sufficient one, the reckoner, the judger. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Surah An-Nisa, verse 6. Sufficient is Allah as a reckoner, as the one who accounts for everything and then takes control of judging and deciding everything on the Day of Judgment. Allah also says in relation to exchanging greetings, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Again, Surah An-Nisa, verse 86. And if you are greeted with a particular good greeting from anyone, then reply in the same way, to be equal. Reply better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He'd like you to do better than what people do for you. But if you don't want to do that, or reply in the same way equally. And then Allah says, indeed Allah is always accounting for every deed. You might be thinking, what's the correlation of this for a simple greeting? You see, that's the thing. Allah doesn't take for granted even the tiniest of the tiniest of gestures, good gestures that you do. Nothing goes unaccounted for. So He is Al-Hasib. He accounts even the nice little gestures that cost you nothing, no effort, no energy, no compensation, nothing. No consequence, He accounts for it. كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, every single thing, He accounts for it for you. Allah says, in relation to being the reckoner, اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. In Surah Qaf, in Surah Al-Isra, verse 14, on the Day of Judgment, it will be said to you, Read your own records, your own book that had been written all your life. Enough for your records to be a reckoner over you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts and writes and records everything and then brings it to show on the Day of Judgment to reckon people with, to read it. Allah also says, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا.
Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 39, again Allah says, Those who convey all the messages which Allah has sent, and they fear none, and they fear Him, and they fear none other but Him, Subhanahu. While you're conveying the message, you fear Allah. You don't fear people. And Allah is sufficient enough as the reckoner, as the one who accounts, as the one who compensates, as the one who looks after you, as the one who judges, as the one who makes the final decision. Allah is enough for you to rely on. All these meanings are in that one name and attribute of Allah which He has introduced us to and mentioned in the Quran. He is Al-Hasib. And you know, I said last time that in the names of Allah, they said in Arabic, and Arabic not only has a meaning to a word, but also the way you pronounce it gives it a further meaning. So for example, if you hear an Arabic word that is prolonged, it means it's an exaggerated form. Allah, If the word is cut short, it means it's just firm and within parameters, it's limited. And nearly all of Allah's names are always in the exaggerated form. Al-Hasib, you elongate it. Al-Rahim, the most merciful, you elongate it. Al-Wadood, the most close, you elongate it. Al-Halim, the clement, the one who is patient with you. He doesn't judge you quickly, he gives you time. Again, exaggerated, elongated. And here we see Al-Hasib. So let us, inshallah, dive a little bit deeper into these beautiful meaning, Al-Hasib. I'll enumerate 7 or 8 meanings quickly, and then I'll go through them, inshallah. The first meaning, which I want to emphasize a lot because the most beloved to our hearts, of the name Al-Hasib is the most sufficient, the one who is enough for you. Number 2, the creator of ways out of all difficulties. Number 3, the accountant of every single deed, good or bad. Number 4, the one who knows the true value of a person. Number 5, the bookkeeper, the preserver of everything. Nothing goes lost. Number 6, the only reckoner, the only judger. No one else will judge and reckon other than him on a day of judgment. Number 7, the considerate. He considers the situations of the people when he judges them or decides things for them or sets out plans for them. He is considerate of your mental state, of your situation, of your hardships, of everything. Your knowledge, were you aware, were you not? And finally, the 8th one, he is the first and the final decision maker. No one will make the decision but him in the final, and he is the only one who made the decision before any decisions were made. This whole entire world is his decision, and the end of it all is his decision. When is the end? The day of judgment. And then to paradise or hellfire, only he makes that decision. No one will ever come in between you and Allah. So let's go through them very quickly, or not quickly, but with some detail. The first one is the most beloved, the one that makes us feel that we are not alone. Any time that we're in any difficulty, we always know that Allah will not leave you, and He is the most sufficient. He is enough. This name of Allah, the most sufficient, is the name that we learn from the story of Prophet Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham, alayhi salam, when his people gathered against him, his family shunned him, his father kicked him out of the home and said to him, if you stay here, I will stone you to death, I'll kill you. All of his people gathered to kill him, and not only kill him, to humiliate him and to place him in a catapult and throw him into a fire that the entire city gathered wood and fuel to light it up as high as a building. And he was merely a teenager, and they tied him up. They spat at him, they swore at him. And as they flung him into the fire, as we know from the words of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient and enough for us, and He is the best to rely on. Qalaha Ibrahim hina ulqiya fi an-nar. Ibrahim alayhi salam said those words when he was thrown into the fire. When you're cut off of everything, any hope, everybody's against you, the entire world, and you're alone, and you have no hope in anything and anyone, and no one else can do anything, even while the fire is in front of you, and it seems like the oppressor has tied you up and oppressed you, wronged you, always say, Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is sufficient in this world.
He is sufficient for us in this world and in the hereafter. Allah is sufficient with us in this world in many ways. Sometimes He is sufficient for us physically, so we rely on Him for good health. And He keeps us in good health for a while, and you constantly think of that name. He is the sufficient one. I cannot be healthy and go to sleep and wake up every day without Allah monitoring my heartbeat, my lungs, my brain, when I'm fully unconscious. And He's the only one who brings me back to life in the morning. When you wake up in the morning and you see that you're breathing and your heart is beating and you're in good health and you can stand up and you're covered with shelter over your head and you can open the fridge and eat and you can walk outside and you're safe, say, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah is truly enough for me, the most sufficient. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for you mentally. You go into mental anguish. You turn to Allah in the night and you take off all your burdens from your shoulder and you truly from your heart give them to Him. And you let Him and you say to Him, "Oh Allah, you are the most sufficient. Whatever outcome happens, I know it's the best for me. I don't want to worry about it anymore. You can do anything." Say, "Hasbunallah." Allah is sufficient. Allah is sufficient for you when it comes to relationships. People may love you and then they may break your heart. People may be living and you see that they're everything for you and then they die. Who is always there for you? Always remember Allah is sufficient. You can always turn to Him. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and just to put the picture for you so you can understand, because we live now for 1,400 and so years later. At that time, the entire Muslim community saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the anchor. They thought that by his presence among them, Allah will never, ever punish or bestow his anger or wrath upon anybody. They thought that by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being among them, you can easily say, "Oh Allah, forgive me," and He'll forgive them because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, there was communication with the heavens. Allah was sending down His words, which made them feel comfortable that Allah is with them with His words. Nothing can describe that feeling. That the Messenger of Allah was always there. You can go to Him to complain your worries, to turn to Him, and you'll always find a beautiful, comforting word. Just His smile. Just His smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would shower you with comfort no matter what you're going through. When He died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire city went into absolute mayhem, catastrophe. People started to walk around as if they're drunk. Nobody could see Him, for they don't know how to think anymore. Some people fell to the ground, they don't know how to walk anymore. To that extent, their love for Him when He died. They felt barren. Umar radiallahu anhu turned it into anger and says, "Anyone who dares to say he died, I will hit him with my sword." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stood up and he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he used to worship him, then he has died. "Waman kana ya'budu Allah فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ." But whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is ever living, He will never die. So even the Messenger of Allah, Allah took him away to show us, it is not the Messenger who ensures your salvation alone. He is just the Messenger from Allah, a mercy to all of mankind. But from who? Never forget where he came from. From Allah. Your parents and their love for you, where did it come from? Never forget that it is Allah who gave you them. Your health, your body, your looks, everything that you have. It's from Allah. Even the downs in life. Don't ever assume wrong of Allah. It requires true iman in Allah and faith to know that even the bad is good for you as much as the good is good for you. And even sometimes the good could be bad and the bad could be good. And Allah knows and you do not know. That is highest essence of iman. People in life go through seven stages.
Sometimes you feel them temporarily, other times they're prolonged, and then the next stage comes and the third stage comes, and it seems like it's endless and never stops. And some of these stages, every single human shall inevitably reach them. In every one of these seven steps, remember the word, Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient and enough, He will never leave me. The first stage, when people go through hardships in life, with people, for example, or expectations that they had, and then they had setbacks, when they thought they did everything right, they were good to everyone else, let's say, and suddenly people begin to hurt them, mistreat them. There are setbacks in your life and you don't know what to make of it. You try to get closure, but you can't. You go around to all the materialistic things in life and all the helpers and all the doctors and all the therapists and all the family and those who love you and your spouse and your children, but you don't find a way. You go through the first stage. Everyone feels it. It's normal. It's called betrayal. You feel betrayed. And the shaitan comes to you and says, look how God left you. Look how your parents, they can't really help you. Look how those friends and people, as soon as they knew you were in this problem, they're not there for you. You did all good and here's your situation. You feel betrayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, remember, I'm not going to leave you. Turn to me. Turn to me when you feel betrayed. Allah says in the Quran, and if my servants ask you about me, I am always close. I will respond to every call. But something has to happen. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Tell them to respond to my call. That's the issue. If a person responds with doubt in Allah, you're not responding to the call of Allah. Because He told you, respond to me and assume well of me. Because then He says, وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. After responding to my call, put their trust in me. No matter what has happened, just put your trust in me. Because you don't know. You don't have the power to know. You only know a little bit. Allah knows it all. Had you known what Allah knows, you will prostrate to Him night and day and never lift your head. Even for what looks bad. So when you feel betrayed, turn to Allah. And know that Allah will not leave you. And slowly the doors will open. And your betrayal will be compensated. If not in this world, Allah will record it. He'll account for it. It will not go even in the hereafter. The second stage that people go through after betrayal, they look around, they think about all those who were supposed to be there for them, the ones who promised them, the ones who said, I'll never leave you alone. Even your own parents. But there comes a point where even their power is not enough to help you. They want to, but they can't. They're limited and their limit starts to show. After the betrayal, you feel disappointed. That's the second stage. You thought, as you were running a life where everything was good for you, money was good, health was good, mental state was good, love was good, relationships, everything. And then suddenly, you're disappointed. I never thought that it would be this way. Here I am. When you're disappointed, remember, Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for me. He will not make me disappointed. But be patient. And He will compensate your disappointment sooner or later. Trust in Allah, no matter how long it takes. If not now, later. If not later, in the hereafter. Allah will never leave you. Do you believe in the hereafter? من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always used to say, whoever believes in Allah truly and the hereafter, then let him do this, let him do that. Let them trust in this, let them trust in that. The key is you have to believe in Allah and who He is, and then He will never leave you, and the hereafter. Because it doesn't end here in this world, my brothers and sisters. Death is not the end. If you thought this was the end, then yes, I can understand where you come from. But if you're a believer in the hereafter truly, and you have believed in Allah's book, the story changes. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Sometimes companions used to say, O Messenger of Allah, we ask Allah that if there is a punishment for us in the hereafter, bring it in this world now, because the punishment of the hereafter is worse. And if there's any goodness He's going to give us, give it to us in the hereafter, because the goodness in the hereafter is far greater than this world. We don't want it here, because it's going to be flimsy. It's going to be just cheap here. It's going to run out. Because Allah used to always say, Allah says in the Quran, the hereafter is far better if only you knew. The hereafter will compensate you if only you knew. But even then, the Prophet ﷺ, who was sent as rahmatan lil alamin, a mercy to all of the worlds, he still corrected his companions, even though they were right. They were right that the rewards of the hereafter are far greater than here. And when you hear about them throughout the Quran and the Messenger's words, you say to yourself, man, I don't even want this world. Just give it, leave it all for me later, my Lord. I'll have it later, all at once, as a lump sum. And if there's any punishment to come to me in the hereafter, oh my God, you say, the intensity of it, you say, no, my Lord, I'd rather have it here now. So that on a day of judgment, I don't have to worry about it. They're right. But the Prophet ﷺ, the merciful, from Allah, still corrected them. Even though they were correct, he said, oh no, but I'm going to teach you something else to say better than that. Say, oh our Lord, bring us goodness in this world and in the hereafter. We want the best of both. And oh Allah, save us from the punishment of the hereafter and the sufferings of this world. Always ask for the best. Why not get both worlds? Once they said, O Messenger of Allah, we get shy in the way that we ask Allah. You know, maybe sometimes we're asking for too much. He said, what do you ask? They said, we ask for this and that. He said, no matter how abundance you ask for, Allah is more abundant. He said, so should we be abundant? He said, no matter how abundant, Allahu Akbar. Allah is more. What are you doing? Don't be shy from asking Allah. Don't be shy. The third stage that a person goes through in life, and you will feel it every now and then, but inevitably we will all feel it at the time of death, is feeling alone. So now we've got, you'll feel betrayal, there is a stage you'll feel disappointment, and there is a stage you will feel alone. You will feel alone at times when what the thing we call social rejection, people reject you. It could be in real life, or on social media, or with family. You change the way you look, your friends reject you. You change your, you become more religious, let's say. Those other friends wanted to have a good time with you, they start rejecting you. Family sometimes may reject you. Your spouse may, your children may. They reject you. Social rejection, the society around you. Sometimes the more pious you get, the more the challenges. Just like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, rejected by everyone, except who? Allah. He doesn't reject you. Sometimes you feel rejected when you blame yourself and feel guilty of all the sins you've done in your life. But Allah tells you, don't. Don't turn away from me. He is the only one who says, don't turn away from me. I will always be near you. You better just come back to me. A companion by the name of Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. Have you heard of him?
Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu did so many terrible atrocities to the Muslims before he became a Muslim. So many died as a result of him, so much conspiracy. He even chased after the Muslims who ran away from their own homes in Mecca to Ethiopia, where there was a Christian, just and fair king. He followed them to try and make him kill them or return them in shackles. Amr ibn al-As did terrible things to the Muslims when he found out the truth of the messengerhood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 2 years when the Prophet made a peace treaty with the enemies, finally they were able to convey the religion of Islam without fear, and people could listen without fear. Finally, Amr ibn al-As got to listen. And he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ready to truly believe in Allah and His Messenger, and to leave all that was behind him and become a Muslim. He said, and the way that they used to become Muslims with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, is that they would shake his hand and pledge allegiance. Now we just say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. We bear witness that there is only one God worthy of worship, Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of Allah. Amr ibn al-As put his hand out and then he stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why, Ya Amr? There's nothing to hesitate anymore. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will become Muslim on one condition. I've just got one condition. You give that to me, I'll become a Muslim. He said, what is the condition? He said, that Allah forgives and wipes away all the sins and evil that I've done in my past. That's the only condition, otherwise I will not become a Muslim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled until his teeth and gums showed. It means he was extra happy. And he said, Ya Amr, did you not know that becoming a Muslim wipes away everything in your past automatically? Even for the repentant. And then he pledged and said the shahada. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aslama an-nas wa amana Amr. Most people just became Muslims by mouth. Like it didn't really enter their heart really strongly. And then later it entered. Except for Amr. He went in full mode. Right from the beginning, he entered with a heart at the level of Iman, not just Islam. Because you know, there are levels of piety. There's Islam, which is the basic level, which all of us are on. The normal practices. Then there's Iman, where your trust in Allah and closest to Allah is felt night and day. Amr was worried about his past sins, which means he truly believed in the hereafter. He truly believed that Allah accounts for everything. He truly believes that Allah is the reckoner. He truly believes that Allah has seen the inner intentions of his heart. He wants them wiped away. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amana Amr wa aslama an-nas. Amr was a mu'min. He was a pious believer of a higher degree. And everyone else started off at the basic level. So when you think about your past sins and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accounting for them, and then you repent to Allah, this, if you want to know a sign of what level you're at, this is the sign. It's not the sign that you're perfect. It's not the sign that you have no sins. It's not the sign that you repeat sins, that you're perfect. Your perfection, sorry, it's not the sign it's not the sign that you never do them to prove your iman. It's the sign that you're always weary of them and you repent to Allah and renew your connection with Allah every time. So for example, you look forward to Ramadan, not by thinking about the hunger and hardship. You look forward to Ramadan because you heard that Allah forgives all your sins of the year. That's what you're thinking about. That's true iman, man. That's a high level of faith. You look forward to the next prayer because you know that the Prophet ﷺ said, between one prayer to the other, the sins are wiped away. You look forward to Friday because every Jumu'ah, Allah wipes away the sins in the week. You look forward to helping someone because Allah wipes away your sins. You look forward to wudu because Allah wipes away your sins with every drop.
or with every bit of water that's on your skin, so that people don't think that you should waste water, because people start splashing water thinking my sins are going. No, it doesn't happen that way. It means when you put the water on your skin, every part of your skin that's covered, your sins are dropping off. The fourth stage that a person needs to say, Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for me, the best one to rely on. Everyone goes through it. Neglect. You feel neglected. You feel betrayed. Then it's disappointment. Then you feel lonely. People have rejected you. Then you feel neglected. People seem to not care about you anymore. Have you ever been to that stage? You think that your mum and dad, your children, your spouse, your best friends, even your pet at times, you will get to a stage where you feel people are just neglecting you. But they're not. But people have to get on with their lives. Even your own mother has to get along with her life. How long can she keep stressing for you? So you feel that people have neglected you. You see, Allah brings that to remind you, when people have neglected you, guess who is still not neglecting you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So answer His call. Even if things don't go the way that you thought by turning back to Allah, there is something that no one can buy that is priceless. It's a feeling inside. It's a peace and tranquility that you feel inside. It's that peace and tranquility, the way I can describe it is the story that Allah brings to us in the Quran about Asya, the wife of Pharaoh. Remember the story, how he tortured her, threw boulders over her chest, tied her to the sand, and him and his soldiers whipping her just because she says, I believe in the message of Moses, Musa alayhi salam. She was being tortured. She said, Allah is sufficient for me. But she had accepted that she's going to die under torture. She never said, why is God letting me die? Why is Allah not sending lightning bolts against Pharaoh and his soldiers? Instead, a mu'min thinks the other way. She said, Rabbi, Rabbi ibni li 'indaka baytan fil jannati wa najjini min fir'auna wa 'amalihi wa najjini min al-qawmi al-zalimin. My Lord, who looks after me, build for me a palace with you, close to you in Jannah. And save me from Fir'aun and his actions, and save me from the oppressive people. She didn't sit there saying, oh God, change my world. She had everything. She just had to say, all right, I don't believe in Moses. She was a queen. She had the power of the entire Egyptian kingdom, man. Everybody served her. She only has to say a word and someone can live or die. But she didn't even choose that. Like, we sometimes think like that when we feel we have no power. This is a woman who had the power beyond any other woman who probably ever existed in the world, or maybe among the top 10. But she didn't even use that power. Instead, she said, let death come to me. Bring it on. I can't wait to go to my Lord. All I want from you, my Lord, is to build for me a palace somewhere close to you in paradise. And save me from all this. Take me to you. The fifth stage that a person goes through in life, you will come to a stage eventually and inevitably where you realize that people cannot do much for you. Realizing that people really just can't do much for you. They're not neglecting you, but they just can't. Who can do things for you? Hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient and enough for me. He can do everything for me. If not now, later. If not later, in the hereafter. Number six, the sixth stage that a person inevitably goes through. You'll feel it in your life, but the one I'm talking about is the one where it's the end. We will all face the final moments to leave this world and go to our Lord.
No matter how powerful or weak you were, how rich or poor you were, no matter what suffering or comfort you had in the life, every single person will get to this stage. And this is the stage where we are all equal. Allah, the true equalizer. Isn't that correct? What is the sixth stage? Feeling lost. Who do I go to now? You give up on everybody, you lose hope. I feel lost. And Allah answers in the Quran in the same way in Surah At-Takwir. He tells you the world's going to end, everything's going, nobody's going to be able to. The Messenger of Allah is here, I've sent you the message, all these different beliefs, and he breaks them all apart and then says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going? Like, you do all these things in life, and in the end, where are you going? Like, what do you want? Where are you going? This world's going to end, you're going to end, you're coming back to me. All these beliefs you created and all these hopes, like this world is really nothing. Where are you going? What do you want? Where are you going with all this? إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا To me, you're all going to come back. To me, Allah says. So you feel lost and Allah says, when you feel lost, say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best one to trust in. And the seventh one, every single one of us will reach it. The stage where you're finally forgotten. You're forgotten. No matter who you are, you'll be forgotten. You die, they love you, they remember you, they go to your grave. Those who loved you a lot will cry a bit. They'll make dua for you. They'll keep coming back. But eventually, the visitations get less. The time period between the visitations get longer. The remembering gets a little bit less. Every now and then they remember you, they cry a bit, but they move on in their life. They got other things. And such is life, moves on. You're forgotten. Who remembers you? Allah. You're with Him now. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ He doesn't leave you after death. That's only if you responded to His call in this life. If you want Allah to remember you in the hereafter and for His mercy to encompass you and that He will be enough for you, don't you dare leave Allah. If you leave Him and death comes, you have made that decision. Allah says it in the Quran already, He didn't hide it. Allah says,
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ
And never be like those who forgot Allah and so Allah forgot who they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget who they are. Those are truly the ones who have corrupted themselves. Don't ever forget Allah. Meaning, don't turn away from Allah's commands and prohibitions and His worship and His trust. In the hereafter, Allah remembers you and looks after you. And Allah says in the Quran,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا
Indeed, those who secured their belief in Allah and then were steadfast all their life. And then at the time of death, Allah says,
تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا
The angels descend upon them in the end and they say to them, you hear them, do not be afraid. Upon death, you don't be afraid. The mu'min is not afraid anymore.
وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا
And don't be saddened. Meaning, don't get anxiety. Don't have depression.
وَأَبْشِرُوا
And also, have glad tidings. Be optimistic and look forward to something.
وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ
Have glad tidings of a paradise that is awaiting for you, that you have been promised. Allah does not go against His promise.
But if you leave Allah, my brother and sister, then he'll leave you in the end. My brothers and sisters, we move on to the second meaning of Al-Hasib, the creator of ways out for you. It means when you put your trust in Allah, He takes it upon Himself to help you find ways out. How? He gives you resources around you. He brings people to you. He gives you willpower. He gives you ideas. If you're in trouble in something, you're wronging yourself, there's the door. Seek that door. There's the therapy. Seek that therapy. There's the help. Get that help. There's the right. There's the wrong. Stop killing yourself. So He shows you ways out. It's up to you to take them or not. Number three, the third meaning, the accountant of every single deed, good or bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran that even if it were the mustard seed's worth of a deed, He is going to bring it. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فِي كِتَابٍ. Everything is in a book, in a record for you. Everything is written for you that you did or didn't do. كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ. Everything He said, we shall write. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَطَرٍ. Every single small or big thing is written. Mustatar means sentence by sentence, line by line. There are no gaps. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Mustard seed, we will bring it. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Enough for us as the reckoners. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Every small thing you ever did, Allah will count it. Every little bad thing, He will count it. But Allah rewards for the good that you do, multiples, and He gives one sin for every bad deed. Even an intention to do a good deed, Allah counts it. An intention to do a bad deed, He will not count it until you do it. And if you change your mind, He will count it as a good deed. So maybe you can get away from people, but you will not get away from Allah. You can harm people, but Allah will know. You can get away with your actions, but Allah will know. Those who oppress and did things in secret and hid it, they can be wealthy and pay their way out. They can have the judges and the police and everyone on their side, but Allah will not let it go. Every oppressor, small or big. Rasulullah ﷺ once saw a donkey with tears coming out of its eyes. You know, donkeys cry, horses cry. Have you seen them cry? Camels cry. Wallahi, I've seen it. A donkey was crying. Rasulullah ﷺ came close and started to pat the donkey and saw it skinny and withered and overloaded. And he could understand what the donkey is feeling. He said, "Who's the owner of this donkey?" He said, "I, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "The donkey is complaining that you are torturing it. You are overloading it. You are overburdening it." And then he said to him, "Urh irhamu turham." Give mercy, you will be given mercy. If you don't give mercy, you will not receive mercy. Even an animal's tear is written. And every little happiness that you bring to someone is written. In a good way. So long as you do it in a good way. You don't bring people happiness through haram, yeah, through sins. Number five, he is the bookkeeper, the preserver. We said it. Read your book. It is enough as a reckoner. Some people will read their book on the day of judgment and they will be judged. And others will read their records and they will not be judged for it. Everything we ever did is written. On the day of judgment, some people Allah will expose you and others He will hide you. The believers who died on belief and no shirk, polytheism, Allah will hide a lot of things. Those who disbelieved openly and stubbornly rejected Allah knowingly, Allah will not hide their deeds. He will read them and say, "It's going to be exposed and you will suffer today." Because you chose that way. And then there are people who never knew. They didn't hear about the truth of Islam. They didn't hear the message. Maybe they were insane. Maybe they didn't have the chance. Allah has another name, which is called Al-Adl, the just and fair. He knows how to treat everybody the way they deserve. So you leave that to Allah and don't worry about it. Every small and big thing, you will see it. And it is enough of embarrassment and the hardship of just seeing that secret sin you did before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you insist on doing it and don't care, it will be exposed. And if you expose others' secret sins, and when I say secret sins, I meant sins that are just between them and Allah. It's not harming anyone. If people are abusive, people molest, people hurt others, people continue to harm others and threaten others, and you hide that sin, well, first you can go and try to help them to stop it. If they don't, then you must expose them to protect others. But we're talking about sins that are between them and Allah. If you hide it, Allah will hide you. Number six, the only reckoner, the judger. A righteous predecessor by the name of Hammam, he once said, "If I were to given the option between Allah judging me on the Day of Judgment or my mother judging me on the Day of Judgment, wallahi, I will choose Allah to judge me in a heartbeat and not my mother." Who's more merciful, do you think, in this entire world? The mother is considered the most compassionate, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a mother, a captive mother, looking for her baby. And then when she found him, she started breastfeeding. He said to his companions, "Do you think that she would ever burn him?" They said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, if she's able to prevent it, she'll prevent it and put herself there even." That's what they meant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is more merciful than his mother to her child. But my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Inform my servants, I am the forgiver, the most merciful. But then he says, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And that my punishment is the most severe punishment. So don't take Allah's forgiveness and mercy for granted. He still punishes and equalizes. And the seventh meaning of Al-Hasib is the considerate. He considers your situation. He looks at if anyone forced you. He looks at your mental state. He looks at the abuse that maybe you have gone through. He looks at the hardships that you went through. Perhaps you did sins because you were not in a good place. Allah considers the situation. Allah considers your sickness, for example. Allah considers in this life that if He has written a position for you in paradise and knows that you will not be doing enough good deeds to make you reach there, or your iman is not enough, He looks for other avenues that He knows you will pass, and then He will assist you to be patient and persevering until you reach that position. The hadith is authentic. It is in Qurtubi, it's in Tabarani, also in Tirmidhi, in Abu Dawood, Sunan Abu Dawood, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written a position for a servant of His and knows that their actions in life will not be enough to make them reach it, He will put them through some kind of test or hardship that He knows they will pass, and then He will assist them to be patient with it, and they end up in that position. We are not glorifying hardship, but we are saying that when hardship comes and it's inevitable, think about it this way, that there is always a plan from Allah and goodness out of it. Instead of suffering and going to mental breakdowns. And finally, He is the first and final decision maker. No one else on the Day of Judgment is going to decide but Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. How sufficient is Allah as the true judger. That even the most evil person in the world who believed in Allah and died on belief but never did any good, even atoms worth maybe is left, the last person to enter paradise will still get as much as this world by tenfolds. But eventually, some people say, if God is so merciful, Allah is so merciful, forgiving, then so long as, you know, He is, I'll end up in paradise. So they live their life of sin and disobedience and evil. Some students ask me this question. They say, "Sir, if we end up in hellfire, will we eventually get out? Like if we're Muslim and believe in God and everything, will we eventually get out?" I say, "Well, yeah, inshallah." I said, "Oh, that's what a relief." So, do you know what hellfire is? And if I got your finger now and put it over the barbecue, just put it there, would you do it? I said, "No, not even a second." So, do you know what hellfire is? You're talking about relief. Don't even think about that. Don't even get close to it. Say, "Oh Allah, keep me away from as far as everything. Don't even make me look at it." So my brothers and sisters, Allah is the Hasib, and always say, "Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil," in every situation and every moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise our ranks, accept our good deeds, guide us and guide those who are astray, and make paradise our eternal abode, and save us from the fire. May Allah relieve the pain and suffering of all those who are suffering, the innocent in the world, and our brothers and sisters. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.